Hey there, listeners. This is Justin with a break from the normal interview format, releasing this on Saturday, recording it on Friday. I'm really down to the wire. I'm glad I told you all I was going to do this men's group episode because I'm really beating the deadline here to get this out there. So format for today's show, we're going to do a couple quick announcements. I want to give context for the topic today, which is men's group or men's groups. We're going to go into a deep dive of three different men's groups that I've done over the last 2 years. And then in the last part, a couple recommendations or resources, and we'll try to keep this short and simple. So first of all, a couple announcements. The first one is there is a non-military newsletter that I've been getting a daily email for and really enjoy it. I think it might be great for you, whether you're in the military or out of the military. It's called The Hustle. You can go to... what is their website? Thehustle.co. Or if you just type in hustle, the hustle, you'll probably get there on Google. It is a daily email. It's about business trends. And it's very cleverly written, very concise, and a lot of humor. But I really enjoy it because it gives me, I'm trying not to read the news as much. It just gives me a quick deep dive on some trends in the market. And that could be technology, that could be non-tech, but it's just gives you a sense of what's going on in the business world. And so I would encourage you to get that if you're interested, if you like to consume media on the go. It's a good way to just in about a minute to 2 minute, maybe 3 minute read, get a sense of what's going on. If you're still in the military, I think it's a good way to buff up on some terminology and start to become conversant about different topics and different companies. And for a minimal investment of 2 to 3 minutes a day of reading that when you have time and for absolutely free, it's one of the better resources I found. And I use it myself. I've been out 10 years and I find it really helpful. Second of all, loving giving some positive positive recognition here. I wanted to thank Rin1257. Rin said on iTunes, gave a 5-star review and said the title of each podcast tells you who he is interviewing. New listeners, start with the ones that interest you most, then work your way to all of them. Audio quality gets better with the newer episodes. Justin, keep up the good work. Thank you, Rin, for the review. Thank you for all the 108 people who've done that so far. Yeah, I got a better mic along the way and I've gotten better about podcasting, but it's kind of painful going back to those first episodes. I didn't even have music for the first couple. So thank you for that review and definitely appreciate those. Last admin item is I just updated our website seconds ago. I sent out a survey in the newsletter. We haven't gotten a ton of traction on it, but it's really valuable. So I added it to our homepage. It is ugly. It says, how can we help you? Take the survey. Take our one-question survey so we can provide more value to you and other veterans. It is literally a one-question survey. Where that is coming from is... obviously going to continue to do the podcast. We've got episodes God recorded and lined up through June. It's pretty overwhelming. But wanting to find ways to add more value, I took a stab at the mastermind group, got mixed reactions on that. And so I thought, let me take a step back and just ask you all what you want. And so I threw out a couple options of things that I've been thinking about tinkering with. And I also leave a big space for you to fill in whatever else. But let me know. And honestly, the way that I'm approaching this is looking to solve the most pronounced pain point, looking to add the most value, and recognizing I have limited time. But I would like to devote a little bit more time if possible. And so fill out the survey. It's take you a minute and will help me get a better sense of if there's a need for more things for the Beyond the Uniform audience, and if so, what that would be. It makes my life easier. I should have done that in the first place. That's startup 101 and kind of dropped the ball on that one. Okay, so let's move on to context for today. So we're going to be talking about men's groups. And if you listen to my episode about No More Mr. Nice Guy, I'll add that in the show notes. If you listen to my conversation last week, and I have an interview coming up very, very soon with a gentleman, Air Force veteran, who does this sort of work. I'm really passionate about this, and I want to give a disclaimer because I know that in the title it is men's group, and I know that many of you are not men, and I think this is still relevant to you. And the reasons why is one, if you're not not a man, you are in relationship with some man, whether it's your father, your son, your uncle, your cousins, your friends, your partner. I'm sure there is a man in your life that you care about in some way. And what I'm going to be talking about, I think, is really beneficial to most men. And the other thing is, I've done three different groups over the last year. I've spent a lot of time doing this. I would say that over half of the men that I've worked with in these groups as peers, they are there because some woman in their life said, hey, you should really go do this. And so even though you're not directly benefiting from what I'm talking about today, I know that you play a critical role. And I hope you don't mind me doing an episode that is specific to men. My intention is not to be exclusive in that whatsoever. But I do think there's a lot here I want to share. The things that we'll do the deep dive on is I'm just going to go in the order in which I've experienced these men's groups. And that is, there's one group that I've gone to every other Thursday for over a year and a half, I believe. We'll talk about that one first. Second, we'll talk about a men's group that I went to for about 9 months, Wednesdays, 6:30 to 8:00 a.m. And then there's a men's group where I went to a weekend workshop, and I just signed up for a year-long program that started yesterday, and very excited about that. They are all three very different, and I want to just give you like the just zoom in and let you know what they were like, and maybe they spark your curiosity, and maybe you look into finding a group near you. And that's the other thing I'm going to offer too. Offer that if this is interesting to you, email me, justin@beyondtheuniform.org, or use the contact form on the website. Either way it gets to me. Let me know. You can just literally just be in the subject line like, yo, I'm interested. If we get enough people, I'll literally start doing this. We'll do it online. We'll do it as a Zoom video conference. We'll do it with a couple guys and take you through what it's like. I think it'd be a good experience for me to lead. I think it'd be great for you guys. It'd be great to see you people by face, and would have maybe like a $5 charge for that. I'll go into costs. I spend way more than that on the stuff I've been doing, but $5 just for a commitment fee, cup of coffee, and we'll have a virtual cup of coffee for about an hour and a half. And I will blend two of the three of the things I'm going to talk about, the formats, just take what I've liked and leave behind what I haven't. Okay, so let's dive in. Or maybe a little bit more context. I think that, let's see, I'll share more about the granular things that I've taken away from these men's groups, but let me just give a high level in case you're thinking of bouncing on this episode. I would say that of all the stuff I do in my life, this is by far the thing that is most important to me right now. I think that my work with men's groups has made me a better human being. I think it's made me a better husband. Although I'm new to it, I'm sure it's made me a better father. And in many ways, it provides accountability in my life. It provides support. And as we'll get into, like, it's just, man, it's this sense of like showing up with warriors, like people who have the courage to look at their stuff and be honest and be vulnerable and take risks and become a better person. And if you are athletically inclined, I don't do CrossFit. I'm kind of an asshole about CrossFit. I kind of get turned off by it. I know many of you probably do it, but it's kind of like CrossFit equivalent of, I get why people like CrossFit. I get that sense of like people showing up and pushing each other and challenging and supporting. It's definitely that environment. My experience has been that, at least, of just people who have their own objectives, their own thing they want to get out, but they are just showing up and doing things out of their comfort zone in a way that is, you know, it's not growing them physical muscles. It's growing them psychological muscles, mental muscles, emotional muscles. And I have seen the impact of this in my work for sure in a major way. I've seen this an impact in my relationships. I've seen this in just my general happiness and fulfillment in life. So I hope that gives you enough motivation to power through the next 10 minutes. God, we're already at 9 minutes and 30 seconds, so let's move on. So I got my little sticky note. I want to kind of speak from the heart on this, but sticky note will help me keep on topic a little bit. So let me talk about the Thursday night group. I saw a somatic therapist who's actually a Navy veteran. Somatic therapy is kind of, I'm a big fan of coaching and therapy. Somatic therapy is kind of about a little bit more about your body and paying attention to what's going on in your body and using that to figure out what's going on in your mind. And really like this guy, Justin Dentry, incredible human being. And he invited me to this men's group that he co-leads. And I've been doing the men's group for over a year and a half, I think. The format for this one, and then we'll talk about the takeaways. The format is every other Thursday we meet. We meet from 6:30 p.m. till 8 p.m. The format that we do is it's generally about four guys to eight guys, maybe as high as 12. We're sitting in a circle in an office, and we start by doing 5 minutes of mindfulness or 5 minutes of meditation. And that's generally after a hectic day. It's pretty nice. Just sit in silence. Just if you haven't meditated before or done mindfulness, it's literally just kind of trying to be present with what's going on with you right then. And if you've done it, you'll realize your mind comes in a lot. You'll have ideas of things to plan for, what you want to do, what happened that day, all sorts of things. And it's just building up mental stamina to detach from the thought and just try to be a little bit more present and see what's going on. And after that 5 minutes, we go around and the people share what they experienced or what they're experiencing in that moment, what they experienced in the check-in or whatever's up for them. But really with a flavor of feeling and trying to get away from, we spend so much time in our heads, trying to get away from telling stories, trying to get away from the content of like, hey, I went to this thing and I was, whatever. It's more of like, hey, I in the 5 minute meditation, I realized I'm feeling really distracted right now. I'm feeling really ramped up because at work someone said something that really set me off. Hey, I'm feeling really sad. At one time I had a check-in where it was like, oh man, I'm just feeling sad. I literally just left home and I got into this big argument with Rebecca and I feel just really lonely and disconnected from her. And you go around the room and everyone kind of shares how they feel, which if you're on active duty is probably something that you'll view as very hippy-dippy, but it's very powerful. We'll get into that in a second. And the rest of the hour and a half is just having a conversation, but trying to get away from any advice giving, trying to really stay in whatever your experience is. And so it might often go like, hey, so-and-so, you said during your check-in that you had this argument with your wife, and I've experienced that as well, and it really throws off my day. Or it could be, hey, when you said that, it really made me upset because that's something that my wife says to me all the time. And so if that makes sense, it's kind of leading from more of a felt sense of what's going on for you. Less of, hey, dude, check out, think about this. Or less about advice swapping or things like that. Trying to stay in the moment, trying to be really honest about whatever you're experiencing. And let me pause there. I think part of what this does for me and for many of the men that I've worked with here is, first of all, it builds up a skill set that by and large, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that men are not good at, myself included, which is identifying our emotions and expressing them. I think that men are, again, I'll use myself as an example, especially when I, 4 or 5 years ago when I was first starting this work, it's like the emotions I can identify with are anger. I can identify with frustration. That's maybe sadness and loneliness. Those are probably four of the emotions that I'd identify with. And usually the identification with those emotions came when I would just explode, right? I'm like at my wit's end and I just lose my shit and get angry. And what I found over the last couple of years is like, oh man, there's a lot of precursors to that. It's maybe something people can relate to more is like hunger, right? It's like I used to get to the point where I was like starving and then I'm like hangry and an asshole and it's like I need to eat right effing now, versus, you know, paying a little bit more attention and starting to realize when I start to get hungry, so maybe I can have a snack rather than waiting 2 hours and then just being like in crisis mode. Very, very similar for me emotionally, which is if I'm not tracking my emotions, they will build up and they will find a way out, and usually in just explosive anger. And that's not the way I want to show up in the world. And so one of the benefits of this type of format of going around with guys is it's literally just getting me better of like, oh man, I'm in my head. What's going on for me right now? What am I feeling? Or man, that guy just said something and it made me feel really angry. Like, what's about that? Like, what is it about what he just shared that makes me angry or frightened or sad or lonely or whatever else it is? Like, filling in the emotional palette, the color palette of the different emotions we feel, and getting more precision in identifying what we're feeling. So that's part of it. Built, and it's literally a muscle. It's not literally a muscle, but it's similar to a muscle. You are building up the experience of, oh man, okay, I just know anger and sadness. What's this other thing? Okay, it's excitement, or it's distraction, or whatever else it is. And another thing is, and I bring this up because in so many of the interviews I've had, guests talk about a feeling of loneliness when they leave the military. And I have found an incredible amount of camaraderie with men in this environment. And part of it is realizing how likely I am to feel alone and to feel very unique in whatever is going on in my life. And as we go around and have these like just deep discussions, I've realized like there's very little that's unique to my experience. Like the details will be different, but the commonality of it is very similar. And I see this experience, especially when new guys come in, where it's like, oh man, like you have troubles in your marriage too. I'm not alone on that. Or, oh man, you feel really behind in your career, or you feel like you're not good enough. It's like this moment of recognizing like, oh, I'm not alone on this. And it's really amazing, again, with guys that join the group for the first time, when they'll express something and it's clearly a risk for them to express it. And it's very clear that they feel like this is unique to them. And then to have like half the guys, if not all the guys, be like, yeah, I relate. I know this is what happened for me. And so there's something bond forming about that. In the military, a lot of my experience was more physical, of going through a lot of like extreme circumstances with other men. And there's something very connective there. But this is the other side of the coin of like the emotional equivalent of that, of sharing, being vulnerable with other people. There's something about that that's like very empowering and very liberating. It's just like a safe spot to talk about whatever we're struggling with or whatever is going on or what we're excited about or what's going great. And it's also been an interesting experience of, I think as men, or again, I'll speak for myself, but I think most men have this, our bias is towards action and towards fixing things. My wife, Rebecca, has something going on, and like, man, I'm in problem solving mode, and I go into problem solving mode. And that's very rarely what she wants. Like very much more often, her and most people in the feminine will want to be seen and heard. Like they want to have someone be present with them. They're not looking for a solution. And this first men's group is an exercise for me in that, of like, man, like I'll speak to that too sometimes. Like someone will share that they're having an awful day, and my share might be like, man, when you said that, I felt really sad because I care about you and I don't want you to feel stressed out, and I'm noticing the tendency I have to want to solve that for you, and I just want to name that, and I don't want to do that. I just want to let you know that when you said that, I'm feeling for you. And not meddling and trying to give advice. I think that's where I often go. So those are some of the things that I took away from this men's group, and something I plan on doing for as far as I can tell for a very long time. It's just on a week, every other week, there's always some insight I get about myself, about others. I always walk away more creatively energized and feeling a lot more free. It makes me realize like, whether I realize it or not, when these things get pent up, it really does affect my work, my mental state. It affects my ability to operate at my peak potential. And that's very important to me, to be my best self, to like really be doing my best work. And I found this a really efficient way to connect with others, to learn about myself, and to just kind of get – a lot of these emotions flowing rather than static. And for those of you who like to exercise, if you've ever been like sick or maybe the weather's been bad and you're cooped up, and then you go for a run and you just feel like freaking awesome, it's a very similar feeling, like very physical as well. It's like very, very similar feeling of like, oh man, I feel great. I feel liberated. I feel free and alive. And so if those feelings are appealing to you, I encourage you to check out Men's Group or email me and we'll do one of these. We'll do a Beyond the Uniform Men's Group. That's the first type. A second type that I did, and I did this one for about 9 months. It was Wednesday morning, 6:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. Oh, just back up to set expectations. The first men's group, I pay $35 every time. All the guys do that. Kind of a commitment thing and kind of pays for the guy that runs it. Second group, and I include costs for those of you who are looking up for a men's group in your area to kind of like set expectations. Second one is I paid $55 a session. So that was, $200 a month or so. Well worth it. I found this second group because I read that book, No More Mr. Nice Guys. He has a website. He had a guy in Denver that does this work. And I'm like, I want more of this. And I want to work on it with men who believe in this. And so this was led also by a therapist. And the format was very different. The format was we would show up and this was usually five guys, as high as eight. We'd show up, and the first half hour was actually like a lesson, and it was teaching about different things about masculinity and being a man, which many of you on active duty, that's probably like, I don't need anyone to teach me about that. My experience, I would disagree. I think that like some of the things we would learn about is how you can be intrinsically motivated or internally referenced or externally referenced. And I have a lot of tendencies to be externally referenced. And by that, I mean I'm looking to see what everyone else is doing. I'm doing something and looking for positive feedback. I'm choosing a job because I think people will think it's cool. I'm doing things and saying things because I think it's what others expect of me. And a lot of that happens subconsciously, but you start to become aware of it and you're like, shit, I don't want to live my life like that. I don't want to be living my life to make other people happy or to project this image on Facebook. Like, fuck that. Like, what's the point in that? And it's this, a process to move more towards being internally referenced and setting my own values and being able to say, hey, I did a good job on this. I might not have gotten the first place in this race, but I'm really proud of my performance on this and how I grew in this. And it's a continual process. And that's one example of the things we covered. And so the first half hour of this men's group would be a lesson, which was kind of cool. It was nice to learn in a sense. It felt badass, honestly, being up at 6:30 a.m. with other dudes who are there trying to become better versions of themselves and being like, man, no one wants to get up super early and we're all doing this. This group also had kind of like a curriculum. The guy had written a book. And so each week, if you chose, you could read a chapter and then there was questions that you would answer and you would read the answers in front of the men. And like one of the exercises, just to kind of give you a flavor, I mean, maybe this seems really far out, but honestly, again, the further out of your comfort zone you get, I guarantee you the better results you'll see. That's uniformly in my life true. One of the exercises was about shame and the shame that we carry. And it was literally, you had to write in this book, you don't have to, you choose to do it, I guess. But I wrote in this book, and he asks you questions, but it's like literally like, what are the 10 things that you've never shared with anyone and you're ashamed of? And then you have to read that in front of these other dudes that you barely know, or you get to know pretty well. But and part of it is like you're doing this for yourself, right? Like my experience was in doing that, it's like, man, these are the things that I'm most ashamed of, the things that I just cause me to doubt myself and make me feel like a piece of shit. And there is so much power in having the courage to share that in a safe group of people. And this, there's rules around the container around not sharing things outside of it. So it is a safe spot. But then to like stand in front of these men and be like, man, this is something I did that I just feel, this, some of the stuff I shared is like stuff I did when I was like 7 years old. But it's still, I think we all have these things that just weigh on us. And so that's just one example of these exercises that we're doing as a group. So back to the format, 30 minutes of lecture. structure in this group. And then similar to the first group, we go around, but there was a more of a template of like, hey, this is what's going on. This is what's gone well this week. This is what's gone poorly this week. And kind of like a step-by-step to make things simple. And then the remainder of the group was kind of speaking to that of like, and this group was a lot more prescriptive. It's like, hey man, you mentioned this, have you thought of this? A lot more advice giving. That wouldn't have flown in the first group. So just to give you a sense, all of these groups are pretty different. And then at the end, there was time for presentations where each person, if they had read a chapter and done the workbook, would present on it. And again, I think that, you know, that group led me to leave my last job. And for those of you who left or read about my career change, that group more than anything else was like identifying when I'm living internally referenced, this is what I want for my life, for my family, for my career, and I'm living to please other people, and I'm not going to do it. And it was literally part of that group that I left my job, which was, you know, I have a 9-week-old baby, and to leave a job, and there was just a lot of things that made that an awkward situation. And I don't think I would have had the courage to do that without the support and accountability of the men in that group. So that was the second one. And then the third one was a guy named John Wineland. And if what I'm saying so far resonates with you, definitely check that out. If you're like, yeah, that stuff's child's play, and you want to go like PhD level, John Wineland is your man. There's a guy named David Data. He wrote a book called The Way of the Superior Man. It has a very, very high number of people who love it and a lot of people who think it's the worst thing ever. John studied under David Data, and I think this guy is next level, very, very, very incredible teacher. And I did a weekend with him. It was something like $500, flew out to California, spent 4 days there or 3 days there for this workshop, and then really liked it and signed up. I spent $10,000, which is probably the most I've ever spent for some sort of training like this. $10,000, it's a year-long program, 2 hours a week on video and 4 weekends that are 4 days in length. And just to put this in perspective, when I told my wife I was going to do this, and you know, at the time she was pregnant, and it's like, hey, I'm going to be leaving you with our soon-to-be child for 4 weekends, she's like, yes, do it. She's like, you came back from that weekend, you were so grounded, you were so much yourself. I've never seen you like that before. So that's the testament of this. But the work that John Wineland does is, I love on his website, it says, again, apologies for the language, I have to make this one explicit now, but it's fuck hacking, go deep. And I think that's an incredible concept. If you get into this sort of work, there's this framework of the masculine and the feminine, and the premise in all of this work is that we all have masculine parts and we all have female parts, like emotionally and physically, and who we are, not physically, but in who we are. And it's kind of like being right-handed and left-handed. You do have men who are more feminine, you have females who are more masculine, and it's just kind of about letting you be comfortable in both, being capable of using right hand and left hand. And so his work is what's called embodiment work. And whereas the first two groups I talked about were very verbal, this one is not verbal at all. It's very physical. And a lot of it is doing things that get you out of your comfort zone. And a lot of the thoughts around masculinity is a lot of the masculine is being able to tolerate discomfort. By that, I mean I'm feeling stressed out in my job, so I have 4 beers, I smoke pot, or I binge on Netflix, or I go on Facebook, or I read the news, or I eat junk food. Like, those are some of the things I've used in my past to escape, to dissociate, to get away from whatever discomfort I'm feeling, versus not doing that. I've cut out alcohol and pot specifically for that reason. TV's probably soon to go, but it's like recognizing what are the things that I do in my life to get away, you know, things that I'm doing to just escape, versus there's something causing discomfort, like I got to face that, right? And there's something about masculinity about doing that, about being able to tolerate discomfort. Again, to give a physical example, working out, I know many of us enjoy that. In essence, it is discomfort. Lifting weights, you are feeling discomfort. You are tolerating discomfort in service of becoming stronger. And that applies in many ways in our lives. And so he'll go through a lot of exercises that, honestly, I do a lot of far out stuff. This stuff's really far out. And it's trying to think of examples that might resonate to share. You know, one of them was, this was like the first night of this workshop. We were lined up in, you know, across from other men. So two lines of men facing a perfect stranger. And, you know, the challenge was like, you know, person, you know, one side, look at the man across from you. And we're going to do this for like 3 to 5 minutes. It was a long time. And it's like, I want you to tell the person across from you how much you trust them. And they don't know you at all. Like, they're just looking at you. And they're, you know, we pick up on people's posture, the way that we're holding ourselves, the way that, you know, all these subtle cues. And it's literally like standing across from another man and you're not saying anything, but he's like, hey, you know, 1 through 10, 5, 5, 6, you know, 8. And it's like, God, when do you get that sort of feedback, right? When do you get feedback from another person about how much they trust you, how much they think that you're present with them right then? And it's a way to like train your nervous system of like, oh man, when my mind is wandering, like people can actually tell that on some level. And so that's like one exercise. Or, you know, part of it was, if anyone's heard of Wim Hof, he's on Tim Ferriss's show quite a bit. He has these breathing exercises that, he does incredible stuff. Wim Hof will, you know, run through the Antarctic naked. I mean, like, this dude does like insane stuff, or jump into like freezing cold water and stay there for like half an hour. It's like MIT is studying Wim Hof. It's like incredible, right? It's like literally like changing your nervous system with your breathing. And so we'll do things like that, of like breathing deeply and being more present. And a lot of it's like very uncomfortable physically, like, and it's pushing through that discomfort, because, you know, it translates. If you can push yourself physically through challenges, it translates emotionally and morally and mentally and all sorts of benefits. So I'll kind of stop there, because I think that this is a little bit more fringe and not what I would be seeking to do with the Beyond the Uniform Men's Group if we do that route. But I wanted to highlight it because it's really incredible work, and maybe for a few of you that will resonate, and you'll check out johnwineland.com. So those are the three things. I'm very curious to hear anyone's reactions to this by email in the comments section. I know I don't do a lot of episodes like this, but I think that all of us would agree, no matter where you stand, that things are not great in our country, and things are not great in a lot of parts of the world. And I think that obviously we all contribute to that in different ways. There is a fantastic documentary on Netflix called The Mask You Live In. It talks about masculinity in America. It talks about, it's a documentary that shows the way that boys are raised, the way that we are raised to not express our feelings, the way that we are made fun of if we show emotion other than anger. Anger's cool, but if you cry, if you show affection for another human being, all of these things are discouraged in very powerful ways from a very young age. And it talks about the physical and psychological damage that that does. And I know this may be, it may be a different perspective than the traditional, at least what most people think of as the military, which is kind of powering through things, ignoring things, pushing through. And there's times for that for sure. And if you do that enough, I think that leads to adverse things in one's relationships and life and lots of different things. And so it's a great documentary to check out if you're curious about this. No More Mr. Nice Guys, I'll add a link to that episode as well. I think that's a very powerful book. If you really want to go fringe, go with The Way of the Superior Man. Footnote on that is, not all of it you'll agree with. And a lot of it I found triggering. Some of the stuff he writes, the way he writes, I find hard to get my head around, but I think that there is value there. Tons of podcasts on this sort of stuff. And Brian Reeves, who I'll have on, I think this week or next, will be releasing that episode. We'll go into more detail there. But I really believe that this is one framework that's very accessible that many of you will find challenging and uplifting and will lead to a lot of personal growth. And I guarantee you, if you do this work, it takes a ton of guts to do it, a ton of courage. I have a tremendous amount of men who put themselves in these situations. If you take a step towards this, I just absolutely guarantee in your personal life, in your relationships, in your professional life, you will see the returns on it. You may have to try out a couple groups to find the right one. And again, if you're curious, shoot me a note. We'll do, I talked about the groups I go to are $35, $55. We'll do it $5, literally just kind of a symbol. I think there's an important component of all of this of having a symbolic sense of like spending time and money to do this. So $5, a cup of coffee. We'll spend an hour and a half every other week together on a Zoom conference call and check that out. But yeah, let me know your thoughts on this. And Monday, I'll be back with our normal format of interviewing military veterans about their civilian career. Hope you enjoyed this. Thanks.